mum and daddy broke up, and I ended up being sent to north of Ireland, you know, into a children's home belonging to the Sisters of Nazareth. I ended up in the children's home. It was a big shock to me. I can just remember standing at this big giant door. It was like a giant's house to me as a child, in a child's mind, you know, and holding on to my daddy's trousers, screaming and being pulled in the front door by this thing that I didn't know was a nun. I didn't know what it was. I could only see a wee tiny part, you know, from her eyebrows down to her chin, you know. That was it, because in them days they were, you know, old-fashioned outfits and all. Anyway, and then I was handed to some senior girl, and we were taken and put in a bath of JS fluid, you know, which was like, oh, it was like sheep dip, you know. And they cut our hair right round our, the top of our ears, so that we blended in with everybody else in the children's home, you know. I had a job. When I was 8, I had to do the toilets, and I had to clean them all, and they would call me out of class if there was a toilet blocked, rather than pay for a plumber, you know, and I would have to kneel with my face nearly in the bowl of the toilet, stretching my arm up round the U-bend, you know, carrying excrement, you know, from one toilet to another, so that I could stand on the toilet, the next toilet, and flush it, you know. And because I was only small, you know, but it made me feel dirty, and I could smell JS fluids and the toilets off me, even in class. And there were some mornings I went into my class, I could hardly hold my pencil, my fingers. They'd been in the water so long that they were all wrinkled and numb, you know. And then the abuse started, where the nun would keep me last in the queue for confession, so I had to go back and clean a toilet, even if it didn't need cleaned or had been cleaned, and until there was nobody else left for confessions. And then she would hand me over to the local priest, who would take me in a little room and tell me how, while he was abusing me, sexually abusing me, he would tell me that God was happy with me, you know, and I didn't have to say any penance, you know. And if I can do anything, even to help them, even to bring another two people forward to the inquiry, to let them know that how strong I've become from that person who just, I was like a recluse, you know, and I continued to overdose, and I was taken from the River Foyle at one stage, you know, in Derry, in my later years, oh, it must be about 15 years ago, where I couldn't take no more. I couldn't take no more, you know. Oh, I would tell them it's the best thing that I've ever done, you know, and that I'm more at peace within. I do have these wee angry moments in my head where, you know, I see that nobody's getting prosecuted, you know. But for the Scottish people, I know they're a brave lot, you know, but it's hard, especially to open up about something, you know, that is so, it's so devastating for what they went through.